you can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Or you can also just open your bulletin where you'll find the text we'll be looking at there. In this portion of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is using the imagery of a soldier, of a warrior, to remind us as Christians that we need to be properly armed for the battle, the spiritual battle that we're in. And he names different pieces of our armor. And today we're going to be looking, as Jake mentioned, at the breastplate of righteousness. And I think it's important just to keep reading this passage and get it in our minds. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. Hear the word of God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me. Words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly. I ought to speak. Let's pray. God, our Father, we do pray even now that your Spirit would be working. That you would help me, O God, to speak boldly what this passage contains. And God, that you would encourage by your Spirit for your people to live boldly by putting upon them this breastplate of righteousness that we are going to be thinking upon. Hear our prayers, Father. Bless us, we ask, in Christ. Amen. Remember the mask? It wasn't so long ago that wherever you went, you had to put on a mask. Maybe it's starting to fade from your memories a little bit. I mean, even today, you don't even have to wear a mask like in a hospital when you visit or in an airplane when you fly. Remember all the hysteria over it all? And whether, the effectiveness was really worth the effort. Now, I'm not here this morning to stir up that controversy, but I think we can all agree at least about this. No matter the mask, we could probably all agree that they weren't perfectly effective in stopping the spread of COVID. Regardless of your practice, I think we can all agree with that. How much attention masks received over these past few years. Just think about all the attention, all the controversy, all the news reports, all the discussions, all the church views over masks. Now, with that in mind, one has to wonder why it is, then, that people disregard a danger that's far greater than COVID and requires you placing upon yourself certain piece of armor, as we see today, in order to protect yourself from it. God's Word tells us that there is a deadly, unseen assault on you and against every person. People are succumbing to it by the millions. Even now, each one of you is under innumerable spiritual attacks from demons. And as Paul calls them in this text, rulers and authorities in the high places that want your demise. You are under attack. And you need this piece of armor before you today that is perfect in its protection. That's one thing I can promise you about the breastplate of righteousness that no one selling you a mask could ever promise you. Is that this piece of armor is perfect in its protection of you. And you need to make sure that you're wearing it constantly and consistently this breastplate of righteousness. Now, in order to put this on, we need a little bit of instruction about how we are to go about wearing this breastplate of righteousness. How does one do so? How does one don the breastplate of righteousness? Well, the way we're going to look at this is we're going to explore the need for the breastplate, examine your possession of the breastplate, and then exercise the strength that this breastplate will give. So first, explore the need. Exploring the need for a protective breastplate. These past weeks, as we've looked at this text, we have been warned against the dangerous spiritual battle that we undergo as the church. That we have a true foe, the devil, who is out to get us. So children, the last few weeks I've been reminding you that this foe is pictured in at least four ways in the Bible. I wonder if you can remember what those four ways are. He first appears in the Bible as a serpent or a snake because he is crafty in his schemes. He slithers around this world trying to trick people to fall for his schemes. Jesus said he's like a strong armed man. He is protective of his territory, and he doesn't like anything being taken from him. Remember, he's also a roaring what? A roaring lion. He's murderous. He wants to end the spiritual life of anyone that he can sink his teeth into. The Bible, throughout the Scriptures, but particularly in the book of Revelation, pictures him as a dragon, because he is hideous in his power as he wars against the saints. And we face him. We face him and the fallen angels that follow him. And Paul says in order to face this battle, to be properly prepared for this battle, we have to have upon us, he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. And before we go on to how do we actually make sure that we have this breastplate upon us, we need to think a little bit about why a breastplate. It's interesting as you study this text and you listen to various teachers or read commentaries about it. Some actually pay little attention in their description of this breastplate of righteousness over the particular part of the body that a breastplate would cover. And it's kind of interesting. I think part of their thinking is because this battle is not a flesh and blood battle, they don't want to emphasize the flesh and blood part of our body that this breastplate you would naturally think would cover. And some commentators almost give you the idea that you could call it a helmet of righteousness and a breastplate of salvation, if you wanted, like the term that goes with the piece of armor, like the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, that they could almost be interchangeable. It's kind of the feeling you could get from this. This is just a convenient figure, convenient symbol that Paul pulled because all around him were Roman soldiers. And so just to use armor was a way of getting people's attention. Well, I think that's a faulty way to view this. And it really doesn't come out in the text as you look at it more closely because the very language used here speaks to the parts of the body that we're to be thinking about when we think of a breastplate. In the Greek, the word here for breastplate is thorax. Thorax. We have that in English. The thorax is that part of your body below your neck and above your stomach. It's your breast. It's your chest. Paul is saying that that part of you needs to be covered. And it's more than symbolic. A breastplate, and so a Roman soldier did cover vital organs like his heart and his lungs, major blood vessels. So there's a spiritual truth being communicated by that. You know, even today we have something like that. Tommy, my police officer son-in-law, had a badge. Where did he wear the badge? Right over his heart, just to kind of symbolize that he was representing by his service in the police force that his heart was in this whole matter. And probably the proper correlation of the breastplate of a Roman soldier to a police officer today would be a bulletproof vest. You've got to protect that vital part of your body. And in this imagery, what Paul is conveying is that this is the part of the body in the Scriptures that was often seen to be the seat of your emotions, your heart, your spiritual heart, seen to be right there. I prayed when I was praying for Martin that Jesus was moved with compassion. Literally, his insides were just moved with compassion for people. That's what we're talking about here. Your heart, your affections. And we need to think about that when it comes to the attacks by the evil one. Lloyd-Jones says, in this conflict, this wrestling that we're engaged in, there should be no part we should be more careful in regard to protecting than where our feelings and affections are controlled. And that's what Satan is aiming at, is your affections. He's constantly attacking your heart, your love, your feelings, your affections, because he wants nothing more for you than to feel defeated and downcast and unacceptable and depressed and discouraged and unloved and incapable. That's what he wants you to be thinking. And I know I'm hitting some buttons right now, because I listen to you. And I hear you saying words like this, because I know I say them as well. In her song, You Say, Lauren Daigle captures this with her opening lines when she starts singing. I'm not going to sing. My wife said, please don't sing. I'm not going to sing. I told her I was going to quote this, but please don't sing it. I'm not singing it. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that says I will never measure up. How often we do that. We think we won't measure up. Fighting those voices that are speaking in our heads, lies. Where do those lies come from? They come from the father of lies, the evil one. He is able to use the voices of other people. He is able to whisper into our minds and hearts in a spiritual way. I don't know how it works, but he does. And he communicates lies to us. He uses the lusts of our own flesh, heart, and eyes to communicate. He begins to overwhelm us with those lies as we listen to him. If you want a theologian instead of a modern music star, Hodge said it this way: the accusations of conscience, the whispers of despondency, the power of temptation are the assaults of Satan. And if we need any evidence of these attacks, we can get them in many places, but let me just point out one. Look at the role of antidepressants in our modern society. Upwards of 15% of Americans are currently on antidepressant medication, and those numbers just keep rising. In the UK, over the last 6 years, the use of antidepressants has risen 35%. But we here in the U.S., take them more than any other nation. And many begin to rely upon those medications for years. Now, I'm here to tell you this morning that just like morphine, antidepressants could have a use for a specific use or time. But they become dependent upon them, can actually become dangerous and miss perhaps the inner needs that our depression is pointing us to. Dr. Ronald Dworkin, a senior fellow at Washington's Hudson Institute, wrote a book that's got this title, Artificial Unhappiness, The Dark Side of the New Happy Class. And this doctor says this: too many people are taking drugs when they really need to be making changes in their lives. Sometimes our despondencies, our fears, our anxieties, our depression, signals to us. And so often people, as they receive these signals, aren't thinking about their spiritual side, their souls in appropriate ways. Some even claim, and many doctors treat us this way, that since we can't see the soul, we just don't really act like you have one. And they try to solve everything through physical means. Well, you couldn't see COVID with your bare eye, but you sure saw the symptoms and knew you needed to do something. What we need to be doing as we face the onslaught of the evil one is grabbing this breastplate of righteousness. So let's talk about that. Examine your possession of the breastplate. When it comes to actually defining the righteousness that Paul is speaking about here, this breastplate of righteousness, again, we get two basic opinions. It was somewhat like we saw last week with the belt of truth, people thinking one thing or another about it. You'll read, and some people think that what is being spoken of here, and I'll explain these terms, is imputed righteousness on the one hand, or imparted righteousness on the others. Imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. What's the difference? An imputed righteousness, when we talk about an imputed righteousness, imputed means to put on, to have placed upon you. And this is the understanding that if someone believes in Jesus Christ, he has placed upon himself the righteousness of Christ. So that as he stands before God, what God sees is not this own man's righteousness. He's not standing on his own soul state before God. But rather, as he stands before God, God sees him through Christ, clothed in Christ, and receives him as such. That's imputed righteousness. Imparted righteousness is the righteous life we are to follow in Christ. That God, through His Spirit, gives us strength to actually obey God and to walk, as we sang in Psalm 23, along those paths of righteousness as we follow our Good Shepherd, Jesus. And so the question is, well, which one is Paul speaking of here? And I rather like what Hendrickson says. Imputed and imparted righteousness must be distinguished, but never separated. It has to be distinguished. They have to be distinguished, but never separated. And so I want us to think, first of all, about this imputed righteousness that leads to an imparted one. As I said, imputed means to lay upon, like a covering, like a clothing. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. That I don't have to travel through this world on my own. And when I do have those thoughts that tell me that I don't measure up, when I do feel those accusations coming my way, when I even realize that I am undone and I don't have the ability to please God, to do the right thing, I'm struggling, I'm weary, I can't make it anymore. It's not just I have to buckle up and try harder. I can't. Can't. But the gospel teaches us that those who believe in Christ are justified by faith, not the work they do, not the righteousness they have, but by the faith in Jesus and His work for us. They believe, a true Christian believes, that by virtue of Jesus Christ going to the cross and having their sins placed upon Him and Him dying in the grave and being raised from that grave 3 days later, that He is now, by faith, giving them His righteousness. That I become, in the eyes of God, perfect like Jesus is. That's why I said that at the beginning. I can guarantee 100% perfection with this shield because it's Christ. It's His breastplate that He gives to His people. Paul speaks in this kind of language in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Him, God made Him, who knew no sin, Jesus, to become sin on your behalf, that you might become what? The righteousness of God in Him. That's the gospel. Right? That's the gospel. That our sins go to Him, all of them, every one of them go to Him. His righteousness comes to me. And I don't have to do anything except believe. receive what He's done for me on my behalf. God looks at Jesus. He sees you. He saw you on the cross. Now He looks at you. He sees His Son and His righteousness for you. Our works don't save. Only Christ's works save. As you're in this great battle with evil, you can't even enter into the fray without this knowledge. Without this trust in a breastplate that's perfect in His protection of you. Without this knowledge that God treated Christ like you should have been treated, but on the other hand, He has treated you as if you were Jesus. And you must have that breastplate of imputed righteousness as your starting point. You have to be like the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. So who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who can do that? Can Satan separate you from the love of Christ as you've experienced it in the gospel? Paul says, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, these things we're talking about here, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from your God. So the question is, are you in possession of this breastplate? Have you trusted Christ this way? And if you have not, why would you wait? Why would you wait to protect yourself perfectly? Protect yourself perfectly in that dawn of righteousness of Jesus. Receive it, friend. It's yours for the taking. And if you possess it, then you now need to exercise the strength of that breastplate. Though imputed righteousness is our beginning, it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. We can't stop there. Calvin says that included in this breastplate is the devout and holy life, the moral integrity of a believer. Because at the moment that Jesus Christ's righteousness is imputed upon you, this is a work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is implanted in you like a seed. And from that very moment, this is why they have to be distinguished but not separated. At that very moment, righteousness is placed upon you. An inward, imparted righteousness begins to work in you, to change you, move your desires, affections from the things of this world, and to start placing them upon the holy things of God. And our behavior has to accompany this imputed righteousness that we have. Paul said this over in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, using some of the same imagery. He says, we are of the day. We're not of the night anymore. We're of the day. Let us be sober, having put on a breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Notice here he talks about the breastplate of righteousness being acted out by faith and being acted out by love. And we see in the Scriptures, like in the book of Hebrews, that those who are called people of faith are people who were people of action. They conquered kingdoms. They obtained promises. They shut lions' mouth on the one hand. And then on the other, they were willing to suffer for Christ's sake. They were mocked, they were stoned, they were sawn in two. They performed, as the Scriptures say, acts of righteousness. You have to understand that. You have to understand that. Again, I take you back to the Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. When Christian, after his burden has been removed, he comes to the house of the interpreter. And discretion and piety and charity and prudence, the daughter's there. want to get him ready for the rest of his journey. And Bunyan says they took him and had him go into the armory, where they showed him all manner of furniture which their Lord had provided for pilgrims. And there was swords, shields, helmets, and a breastplate. And then for Bunyan to emphasize that this breastplate needs to be exercised in strength, he says they also showed him what some of the servants had done in previous ages, the wonderful things and the instruments they used. They showed him Moses' rod, the hammer and nail which Jael slew Sisera, the pitchers, trumpets, and lamps which Gideon put to flight the armies of Midian. They showed him the ox goad wherewith Shamgar slew 600 men. They showed him the sling and stone which David used to slay Goliath. And on it goes. And the idea here is that we as Christians have to be active in our faith. We have to exercise this breastplate and find strength through it, because it's an imparted righteousness that we're to have. Do you want to overcome Satan? Do you want to overcome those fears and those anxieties and that paralysis in your life? Then in essence, you got to move. You can't just sit there wearing your breastplate. Because remember, you put on a piece of armory in order to get up and go to war. And I would say this morning that this is the secret strength of the breastplate. The secret strength of the breastplate is to obey God's commandments faithfully. To obey God's commandments faithfully. Psalm 112 says that a righteous man will fear the Lord and delight in His commandments. In an old work called The Marrow of Modern Divinity, Edward Fisher, trying to help Christians understand the place of works in their life, said this: here's the difference. The law of works says, do this and live. But the law of Christ says, live and do this. The one says, do this for life. The other says, do this from life. Christ has granted you life, salvation. He's granted you righteousness through His Son. And if you purpose to keep His commandments, then you won't fall to the attacks of the evil one. You will put into practice, His commandments to help you to fight off what He's assailing you with. Think about, for instance, being anxious, which many, many Christians struggle with. We all do. We all struggle. Well, what does God tell us to do when we get anxious? Well, Philippians 4, 6 through 8 is a pretty good place to go. The Lord is at hand, so we're to remember that He's here with us in the battle. What does He say? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts. Guard your hearts and minds, your thorax, in Christ Jesus. And He goes on to say, therefore, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Exercise your strength, Christian. Overcome the evil one's assaults upon you to make you think that you are less than the son or daughter of Jesus Christ that you truly are. Friends, you are fighting an unseen foe. And in order to fight this battle, you have to wear this breastplate of righteousness. And again, your own good works, they won't stand the assault. They will fail. The ways of this world cannot stand against the evil one. But the righteous works of Christ will. Lord who said to you, if you love me, keep my commandments. He's the one that's saying to you, I'm at hand here. Put on my breastplate. Follow my marching orders. Let's go to war. Let's go to war. Be the soldier you're called to be. Let us pray. Father, as the evil one seeks to thrust his lies into the very core of our being, as he tries to lie to us and tell us that we are something that we are not, we pray, O God, that you would grant us a greater strength to wear this breastplate through your strength and for your glory, we pray. We ask it in Jesus our Lord. Amen.